Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
To say this team is rolling is an understatement. 6 wins in their past 8 games. Oh, yeah. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you here for episode 112 as we head into NHL All-Star break, which, yeah, some people love. I used to like it when I was a kid, but not so much anymore. It's weird to have another break for the Flames again, too. And I don't think that's a good thing. Not a good time for break. Things are rolling good. I like it. We're going to come out of the break with some hellaciously difficult games and, yeah. Seems like we've had a ton of breaks this season, hasn't it? One after another for all kinds of different reasons. And we thought it was going to be Olympic break. Not so much. We're going to take a break from the show for the Olympic break. No, we're going to keep the show going because we got a lot of hockey to talk about. Positive though. Next 21-26 played at the Saddle Dome. And we've started to turn the ways a little bit, making it a little bit more difficult place to play. That we need to keep happening because we need it to be difficult. NFL playoffs, yeah, they have been in full swing. I'm not a big NFL guy, nor am I a big MLB guy. I'm not an NBA guy at all. But I watched the playoffs the last 2 weeks because it was pretty damn exciting. And I don't know. I'm not a big football guy, but I watch it and I'm interested. And then now we get to the Super Bowl and we get a week off. What? You build all that anticipation, all that momentum, you get everything going, and then the league takes a week off. I've always thought that was stupid. I have from the beginning, and I don't know. To me, it just does not make any sense at all. Olympics got going today. I watched some events, a little bit of women's hockey. I'm not all that excited for the men's hockey, nor am I the women's hockey. I want women probably more than men. You know, I look at the Olympics and it, to me, it's lost its luster over the last decade. I think I'm going into it more with an open mind just to watch, the good stories and the sports we don't watch normally. I watch some different sports in the Winter Olympics. I watch more curling than I normally do and I like curling. And then I watch, you know, the shooting and the cross country ski, I think it's called that's biathlon, right? That's always really interesting. There's a couple other sports, the speed skating. I enjoy that. Not much into the figure skating, but, yeah, I'm going to watch a little bit of the Olympics because, we got a little break from Flames hockey and we need something to do, right? All-star break is upon us. Everybody's got their different opinions on what they think of all-star break. I personally, don't like All-Star break. I don't like taking time off for gimmicky games and things. But, hey, everybody's got their own opinion. I loved it when I was a kid when it was the Wales against the Campbell Conference. And it seemed like it meant more. I'm sure it wasn't. I mean, I'm sure true hockey fans back then thought it was a gimmicky, too. But it just seems like it really is now. Yeah, it's a good time to be a Flames fan, though, because we're rolling and we are looking real good. And on this episode, we're going to discuss, you know, all the recent games we've had since St. Louis, since we played in St. Louis. We'll talk from there on down, roll through that a little bit. It's going to be fun to talk about that because this team's red hot. And then we'll talk about the patience that Coach Sutter has given Adam Ruziczka and how now it's starting to help his game and push him through into, you know, possibly maybe the answer for that fourth line center. We'll give mid-season grades to every single player and then talk about some different team aspects of the mid-season grades. And we'll wrap with some Flames news from the Pacific, a Facebook poll that is interesting. It involves the future of the Flames. And we'll finally preview that All-Star weekend. It's another jam-packed episode of Flames Unfiltered. We'll be right back. All right, Flames fans. Yeah, it's good to be back and not feeling like garbage. I've been sick a lot lately, and it's just ravaging my household right now. All the kids are getting sick, and I just hope we're through it by the end of this weekend and back to some normal life. Jeepers. All right, let's talk Flames in St. Louis last Thursday night, the 27th of January. Things didn't go as planned. I didn't think it was a horrendous game from the Flames. It resulted in a 5-1 loss. Husso in net for the St. Louis. He's way better than Binnington, isn't he? Oh, way better. Revenge game. St. Louis got throttled by the Flames 7-1 in Calgary just a few days earlier. They got their revenge 5-1. Braden Schenn with a game-winning goal. Markstrom takes the loss, his 10th loss of the year. And the Flames got on a plane and headed back home for one game, a short one-game homestand. As last Saturday night, the Vancouver Canucks rolled into Calgary for what many called a very boring game. I did not think it was all that boring. It wasn't like a barn burner, but I thought it was a pretty interesting game as Markstrom dueled it out with his old team, an old teammate, Demko, and a good game. And no scoring through regulation. We go to overtime, and the play goes down towards the Calgary zone. Lindholm hooks JT Miller. He admitted it in the press conference, said he should have had a call there. I love that about him. He's a stand-up guy. Anyways, a break goes the Flames' way. Puck rotates around as Lindholm and Gaudreau head in. Gaudreau with a slapper in the slot to revenge his penalty shot he missed earlier in the game. He gets the game winner. In overtime, a fun battle. Anytime you can beat Edmonton or Vancouver, yeah, that makes me very happy. Tuesday night, Calgary headed into Dallas for a two-game road trip before the All-Star break. And the Dallas game was interesting as our luck against Dallas seems not good to me. It seems like we always lose to Dallas. And I believe the record isn't probably as bad as I'm making it out to be, but I just feel like we also lose to Dallas. Calgary fires off 40 shots, comes from behind, down 3-1, less than, I believe, 7 minutes to go, I believe. They start coming back and coming back. Yeah, at 14:36, Mark Mangiapane scores his 20th. 20 goals already for Mangiapane, and he scores an assist from Coleman and Hanif, and that makes it 3-2. Flames are alive. Less than a minute later, Johnny Gaudreau scores, assist from Tkachuk and Lindholm. We're all tied up, and then Calgary's Shillington takes a penalty. And I think everybody, all of us who were watching it, were just like, oh no, this is so going to put him in the doghouse with Sutter. I feel like he's like one bad play away all the time, it seems like, even though he's been flat out amazing this year. But I just was like, oh no. Calgary kills the penalty off as Shillington gets out of the penalty box. Probably the most passes on a 3-on-1 I've ever seen in my entire life. I believe it was 6. As back and forth between Shillington, Rasmus Anderson, and Elias Lindholm, it ends with Shillington revenging the penalty and scoring his 5th of the year, a game-winning goal at the 18:13 mark. Calgary holds on for a big 4-3 win over the Calgary Flames. One other bit of information that happened in that game was Markstrom was pulled after 2 periods. I didn't think Markstrom was actually that good in this game. Wasn't horrendous or anything, but he was not that good. Vladar comes in, stops all 6 shots, I believe, in the 3rd period, and picks up his 6th win of the year. Bonus for him, and Calgary heads on to Arizona with another win. In Arizona, this one started off as an embarrassment. Calgary unloaded, absolutely unloaded on Arizona. 20 plus shots in the first period. They end with 50 shots. Arizona was much better in the second and third period. But Calgary gets on the board right away. Blake Coleman scores his 9th. Then Alex Galchenyuk scores, and you're thinking, okay, we're completely dominant. I believe shots at that point were like 12-2. And it's like, what? Now we're tied again. Where are we going to go with this? Lindholm scores with 10 seconds to go in the period, and I felt a whole hell of a lot better. In the second period, Clayton Keller scores at the 4:14 mark, and I'm thinking, okay, we're midway through the second period. We're drastically outshooting this team, outplaying them in every aspect. We haven't taken any penalties, and we're tied 2-2. It was a little bit scary because I thought, this is so a game we can't afford to lose. We just can't afford to lose this one. Chris Tanev scores his third of the year, which puts the Flames up 3-2 and with 5 minutes to go in the second. And in the third period, Calgary locks it down, plays very, very, very well. And, Blake Coleman scores another one as insurance at the 12:06 mark. Chris Tanev and Shillington with the assist. Tanev caps off a 4-point night. Coleman, a 2-goal game. And, Calgary heads into All-Star break with another win, 4-2 over Arizona. A goal for Calgary and Sutter had put down at the beginning of the year was to be in a playoff position at All-Star break. And guess what? Flames are in a playoff position. All things good in Calgary. Let's talk a little bit about Adam Ruziczka. And he has stepped in now, and he has played 10 games this year. And he's been centering the fourth line for the Flames. He's a big body. I love his style. I love what he brings to the table. I'm just really surprised at how this one's all unfolded. Ruziczka came up, and I thought in the beginning of the year was listless, looked scared. I don't mean scared to get hit or anything like that, but just scared to make mistakes. He looked very hesitant, and I don't know. I thought he was really, really bad. I believe it was the St. Louis game. I believe it was the one that I thought he was really, really bad in. And I expected, as a matter of fact, I believe he had a turnover right in the slot. I expected Sutter to just tear into him in the press and say, you know, this boy's not ready, this boy's not ready. And he didn't. He didn't at all. He threw him back out the next night over to the top of Richardson, who is normally centering that fourth line. And he's given the team a spark. He's really given the team a spark. You know, he had an assist in the Dallas game. He had a goal when we pounded St. Louis. And he's brought another factor to this team. And a lot of fans have been screaming for, we need youth, we need youth, we need youth. And I don't really necessarily argue with that. I just don't know that we have the youth to step in and be productive. And I was down on Ruziczka. I boo-hooed him and boo-hooed him at the beginning of the year, because every time he was given a chance, it just seemed like, you know, he just didn't produce. And I'm not expecting him to go out and throw a bunch of points in being on the fourth line. But when he was in the OHL in the 16-17 season, he had 46 points in 61 games. 17-18, he had 72 and 63. Followed it up in 18-19 with 78 and 65. More impressively, you look at his AHL, he had 27 points in 2019-20 in 54 games. In a shortened 2021 season, he had 21 points in 28 games. And then this year so far, he's played 13 games for Stockton and has got 16 points. This guy, he's producing. And now we get up to the NHL, and not so much that he's producing, but he's a plus two, which is a great sign for a young player like this. He's got 2 goals, 2 assists in 10 games. He's got a 15.4 shot percentage. He is struggling a little bit in the faceoff circle, only winning 44.6% of them. But that's something that you'd kind of develop and kind of learn, right? That's not something you walk right into the league and just have. He's big, he's smart, he's mobile. Especially for his size, he's really mobile. And he gives an aspect to this fourth line that gives us a little bit of scoring punch. And I think if he can solidify this and prove to the coaching staff and everybody that he can do this on a consistent basis, this adds a lot of depth to our team heading into, you know, a playoff run. It's been fairly impressive. And I know his numbers aren't like off the charts. He's not you know, a breakout rookie or a guy that is completely shocking us like Shillington. But I like what he brings to the team. And if he's going to continue in this fourth line and continue to be successful, we need him to get better in the faceoff circle. He's got to get at least up to 50%. Especially if he's going to be taking defensive zone faceoffs, which right now, they're sheltering him a little bit when they can. And they should be. I think he needs to learn how to play consistent night to night. I thought he was really good in Dallas. And then I thought he struggled a little, not struggled, was less of a impact player last night. And we need him to be able to put it together where he can, you know, where the team will have the confidence that he can come out two nights in a row and give an A game. And then he needs to play with confidence. And that's something that I saw earlier in the year, that it just seemed like he was so afraid to make mistakes that he wasn't able to generate the chances and make that confident play that you need to make. And he looks like every game, and especially after Sutter gave him a vote of confidence, it just seems like it's changed his attitude and changed his style, and you can definitely see and change his confidence level. So I look for big things from him down the second half of the season here, and let's hope he can develop some consistency so that he can solidify that fourth line center role. We are officially to the mid-season mark for the Calgary Flames. I didn't think we were going to get there when we sat through all of December wondering if we were playing hockey or what the heck we were doing. But we've made it. We're there. And now we need to give grades, right? That's what you do at midterm, right? Just throw out grades. Let's talk about who's producing, who's not. Who gets the A's and who gets the F's? Now, I'm basing this as C is a grade that's average based on what your expectancy was heading into the season. We'll roll through it right from the top and the forwards. We'll talk about the first line first. Let's talk about Johnny Gaudreau, and you got to give him an A+, right? How do you not? How do you not give this guy an A+? He leads the team in points. 18 goals, 36 assists, 54 points. Amongst the leaders in the National Hockey League, the guy is plus 30. Listen to old episodes of this show. I badmouth this guy about his defensive play and only worried about one way. This guy's a changed player. Now, can he be in the playoffs? I don't know. I got to see it to believe it, right? Because if you'd have told me at the beginning of the year he was going to have a record-setting year, I would have told you you're crazy. But that's what he's doing. He's putting up career points. His pace is out of control right now. His confidence level is crazy. He looked like he was on the Harlem Globetrotters last night in Arizona. Daryl Sutter said it looks like he was playing in an All-Star game or getting ready to play in the All-Star game. He was that dynamic. When he had the puck, it was like on a string. Second grade is Elias Lindholm. Give him a B+. I think he's been good. He's got 37 points, 15 goals. He's the glue, man. He's the glue on this line. He's not going to be the flashy guy. Now, he's proven he can handle this role. Is he a bona fide number one center? Not a premier number one center, but he plays that role. And he's doing a hell of a job on what many would argue is the top line in the National Hockey League. When's the last time we said that in Calgary? 20-plus minutes every single night, does it all, heart and soul guy. I had to laugh last night. He was snake bit, Ben. He had 3 shots in the slot in the first period. Couldn't get it to go. Finally, on the fourth one, buried it. And a clutch goal to put us ahead heading into the first intermission. Matthew Tkachuk. I'll go B+ on Matthew Tkachuk. 45 points, 20 goals, 25 assists. He gets secret points. I watch him every night, and I'm like, yeah, what's Tkachuk doing tonight? I look at the box score. I'm like, oh, 2 assists. I don't know what my expectations are for him, but I think I'm overly critical. Probably because he's not a real good skater, and he's not real flashy, unless he's down low. Then he's doing all kinds of crazy things. I think what bothers me the most is the way he checks people, how he turns all the time. You got to put your shoulder once in a while, body a man out. It's beside the point. He's been really good this year. It's been effective. Been fairly consistent, too. Rolling on into that second line, Andrew Mangiapane. Man, early in the year, I would have said A++++++, and I'll give him a B right now. I think he's been fine. He's got 20 goals, 7 assists, 27 points, which I don't understand how he has only 7 assists, but he only has 7 assists. The crazier stat is 19 of his 20 goals are on the road. Figure that out, which is really scary as hell because 21 of our next 26 are at home. So you better break that trend, take that monkey, throw it into the upper deck of the Saddle Dome. He's plus 7 and he's cooling off, and that scares me a little bit. Points and goals are not coming as easy for Andrew Mangiapane right now. But you know what? Every player goes up and down and has little things. I like the line he's on right now with Backlund and Coleman. And I think it's going to help him, and I think his points are going to stay at a pretty solid, consistent basis. We're going to see, are we going to see a 35 goal Andrew Mangiapane this year? We'd have signed up for that at the beginning of the year, wouldn't we have? Michael Backlund, centering the line with Mangiapane and Coleman. I would go C minus. I hate doing that because I think Backlund's such a heart and soul guy. I think this guy is way more important to this team in the locker room than anybody gives him credit for. 6 goals, 15 points. His shooting percentage is a dismal 5.7. The guy's trending up, man. He has been on fire, putting shots on net the last 5 games. And really, I think, been very, very good. I love him on the penalty kill. He has that aspect of a chance to score on the penalty kill. C minus right now. I look for improvements there. I don't think Backlund is at a point in his career where he's going to have season points records or anything like that, or personal best records for points. I think he's trending down in that, but he brings so much else to the game as far as that shutdown. He's so beneficial to this team. And when that guy is scoring, oh, this team is winning. And let's roll on into Coleman. I thought long and hard on this one, and I'm going to go with C. He's about what my expectations were. I know a lot of people would maybe say he'd be below expectations. His shot percentage is a low 7.8. He's starting to fit in now, though, guys. You can't just step onto a new team and gel. But I feel like this line now is starting to gel. I've liked his play lately. He's been red hot. He had 2 goals last night in Arizona. Hit a post in Dallas. He's doing good things right now, more good than bad. And as a matter of fact, try to tell me next time, last time you saw Coleman, and said, boy, he's been bad. This guy's been really good. Milan Lucic. He has cooled off. He started off so red hot. I'd give him a B. Lucic has 9 goals, 7 assists, 16 points. If you said we were going to have a 12-goal or 15-goal campaign from Milan Lucic, we'd all said, yep, we'll take it. He's on pace for more than that. This guy was a 5-hole master earlier in the year. Everything he touched 5-hole was in the back of the net. Now, he hasn't scored lately. I still like his play. He's tough as nails. But he is trending down. And I wonder now a little bit if Sutter should do what I mentioned last year. And that's maybe not play him every single game, especially in back-to-backs. He's not the youngest guy anymore. He's a big lumbering guy. And to keep him fresh, because we are going to need him down the stretch. I think maybe his ice time is going to get monitored just a little bit. Sean Monahan, 19 points, 7 goals, 12 assists, minus 13. I predicted Monahan to have a bounce back year this year. We're not getting it. We've had a couple bounce back games, but not a bounce back year. I hate to do it to Sean Monahan, but I'm going to have to give him an F. And I hate that. He showed signs of turning a corner and that maybe he's healing up from all these surgeries and maybe his hip is okay. But then he goes away the next game. I don't mind this guy in the power play. And if you told me that Sean Monahan was able to turn that 7 goals into 20 by the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't. I still like what this guy brings to the table, and I still think there's an upside. He works his ass off. Nobody can say that Sean Monahan is not playing well because he isn't working hard. Dylan Dubé. Unfortunately, Dylan's getting the letter grade that his name starts with, a big fat D. 4 goals, 7 assists, 11 points, minus 11. And the sad thing is Dylan Dubé is bringing nothing to the table every single night. Nothing. What happens with Dylan Dubé? Do we get the Dylan Dubé we saw in the playoffs? Do we get the Dylan Dubé that showed signs last year of maybe this year being his season he can turn the corner? I've been completely let down by Dylan Dubé this year. Completely. Trevor Lewis, I'll go C-. Trending up, though. He's doing his job. 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points. Doing his job. I've liked his game better as of late. I have. I've really liked his game. This guy just seems like he should score more, though. I don't know, but I've liked his game better lately. Adam Ruziska, we just talked about him in the last segment. I'm going to go B- because he's outdone the expectations, but that's more so lately than earlier in the year. He was really a disappointment in his first 4 or 5 games. He's played 11. He's got 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, plus 2, but he's coming on, and he's solidifying that spot on the fourth line, and if he can do that, that's a big bonus for this team. It really is. Let's talk about Richie. I'm going to go D-. I almost gave him an F. As a matter of fact, hell with it. I'm giving him an F. This guy's got no points. He's minus 5. He's no impact anymore. I thought he was a big, speedy guy for his size. And he can be, but he's not doing it on a consistent basis. Yeah, he's tough. He's physical. But he hasn't even been getting into the game in that aspect. And if he's not getting into the game in that aspect, then why? We don't need him. He's not doing it for me. Now, I know Sutter likes him. I don't know. I love what he brings because of his size and his physicalness and his no fear. I don't know. I'm at a loss on this one. I don't know what to do. Brad Richardson, 24 games, 4 points, was in that fourth line center spot, seems to have lost it to Ruziska a little bit. I'll give him a C. He's exactly what I expected at the beginning of the season. He's serviceable, but he looks old out there, doesn't he? He's not a risk out there, but he's not bringing anything to the table. Final forward we're going to talk about, Tyler Pitlick. Now, I was kind of excited when we traded and got him. I liked his speed. I liked what he did. He's been injured so often this year. So often. I love his speed, but wow, this guy's got no hands, man. This guy's got no hands. 25 games played, no goals, 2 assists, minus 5. I got to give him an F. I had so many high hopes for this guy, but I don't know where we go with Tyler Pitt. Like, I don't know where we go with him. Let's roll on and over to the defense. And let's start with that top pairing. Noah Hanifin, 18 points, 4 goals, plus 9, solid. 20 minutes a night, every night from this guy. He hasn't had a barn burner year. It's a B. It's a B. He's had a B year. It's been good, though. Can you complain? Can anybody on our defense? All of them have been above average. They really have. They've all been above average. And I know someone's going to say, oh, you're crazy. Zadorov hasn't or Gabranson hasn't. But you know what? You're not watching the games then. Let's talk about Anderson. I'll give him a B+. Guy's shooting the puck more. He's doing what Sutter told him to do. Shoot the puck. He's really stepped up as of late. I really have more confidence in him now than I have in a long, long time. I was not impressed last year. 1 goal, 20 assists, 21 points. He's plus 10, getting 20 minutes plus every single night, working hard, leading that power play. I like what he does. I think he's a good passer. I think he's got a secretly really good shot, too. I don't know. I think he pretty much brings it all. Oliver Shillington, I'm going an A. Yeah, a big A for Oliver Shillington. Did anybody see this coming? Did anybody think he'd even get a chance this year? We didn't think he'd hardly play, and he's got 41 games in. 5 goals, 16 assists, 21 points. He's a plus 20. Oliver Shillington, a plus 20. Unreal. 18 plus minutes a night. How do you not give this guy an A? Chris Tanev, go with a solid, solid, solid B. 3 goals, 14 points, plus 17, 20 minutes every night. This guy is a rock. He does everything defensively, blocks shots, does everything. That's exactly why we got him. Eric Gabranson. God, in the preseason, we all were pulling our hair out, weren't we? We did not know what to do, did we? I think Sutter is right on this, man. I'll give Eric Gabranson a solid B. 42 games played, 8 points. Been fairly solid. Been doing good things. I loved his fight last night. Hey, he's been really, really good. Other good aspect of this team is the goaltenders. Jacob Markstrom, 33 games played of the 42. That's a lot. 2.2 goals against average, 0.923 save percentage. I'm going to go with an A because this guy's got 7 shutouts, 17 wins. He's struggled in a few games, but man, has he been dead on and more than he's been. He's been good. He's been really, really good. Vezina conversation, maybe if he can keep this going. Yeah, he's been good. And isn't it great to finally in Calgary be like, yeah, every night, I'm confident in that, aren't you guys? Makes those days where it's like, oh my God, John Gillies is playing tonight. Oh, we're going to die. Brian Elliott's in. Oh no. He just didn't know. And some nights, you know, you'd have Mike Smith in and he'd be like a world beater. And the next night he couldn't stop a beach ball. We don't have that anymore. And it's so nice to turn the games on and have that no stress of just having a goaltender flop night. And our backup, nobody knew about Daniel Vladar. Did anybody really know? This guy's just quietly played 10 games, won 6. I said at the beginning of the year, if this guy wins 10 games, this team is definitely a playoff team. Well, he's got 4 away. He's got a 2.64 goals against average, 0.911 save percentage. He's gotten a solid B from me. This guy looks confident, ready to go. Isn't getting a whole bunch of playing time, but when he's in, he's good. 2 shutouts, I believe. He's got 2 shutouts already this year, too. How do you argue that, man? This guy's for real. Let's talk special teams. And let's talk first about the power play. A power play that's been really cold lately. It's kicking along at 21.1%, which is 12th in the NHL. It's streaky, but hey, most power plays are streaky, right? Toronto's sitting atop with 30.5. That's what Calgary needs to keep pushing their way up to. It's been on a little bit of a struggle bowl lately. It was red hot about a week ago. I'll give the power play a letter grade of B. On to the penalty kill. Let's give it straight away. Let's talk about it right away. It's going to get an A. The penalty kill has been great. 84.3. Solid, solid, solid for 4th in the NHL. Carolina tops the league at 89%. Calgary not far off. I love our penalty kill this year. Overall, what do we grade this team? What do we give this team for a letter grade for this season? Midpoint, we're in a playoff spot. We're 14th in the league in points percentage with .619. This team is playing their system. They're playing the Sutter system to a T. We're not having nights going, huh, how are we going to get 100% effort like we had all the time with Jeff Ward? No, we know what effort we're going to get every night. Our lines juggled in the blender every night? No, we know what we're going to get. We're letting them gel together. They're learning how to play. Learning how to play the system. And we're winning games because of it. We're becoming a hard team to play. When's the last time in Calgary we can say the teams looked at the schedule and said, oh, great. We got Calgary on Thursday. It's been a long time. This team's going places. It's different. It's just a different feeling. Now, I'm not saying we're going to the Stanley Cup final or anything like that, but I just say let's get to the playoffs because anything can happen. And I'm not the only person saying that. There's a lot of analysts that are saying, watch out for Calgary. It'll be interesting to see if there's any additions or subtractions at the trade deadline. What happens with this team? I like where we sit. I'll give it a B+ so far. Good solid B+. Let's talk about the biggest positive. I got two things that come to mind. We're playing the system. And we've been injury free. Not a lot of teams can say that. The biggest negative? I keep looking at our bottom six and I'm like, man, we're a forward short, man. We're a scorer short. We're a second line winger short. We need a right winger. Well, let's see what Brad can do. Three stars. Who are the three stars on this team at this point of the season? Number three star, I give it to Oliver Shillington. Nobody saw this coming. Now we got to sit and worry about what we're going to pay this guy in the offseason. It's a hell of a good problem to have, isn't it? Number two star, Jacob Markstrom. We just talked about it 5 minutes ago. You know what you're getting every night. You can feel safe every night. It makes it a whole lot easier to play, doesn't it? Number one star, he's on fire, man. Johnny Gaudreau. This guy is just a rocket ship out there. This guy is doing everything. And if he can keep this up, we'll write the check. We'll be happy to have you back. We'll watch this every single year and love every minute of it. Time for a little bit of Flames news. Juuso Välimäki in the news a little bit. Not good news. Suspended 3 games from the American Hockey League for physical abuse of officials. Is he fired up because he's not in Calgary? Probably. Still think he's going to get games this year. I do. Flames fire a record 62 shots on goal in Columbus. That is a franchise record. For the most shots in a single game. We were way on pace to get it last night again. And this team is firing shots. It is not uncommon to be 40 plus a night. And that makes it really, really hard on opposing goaltenders. It makes it really, really hard. Johnny Gaudreau named third star of the week last week in the National Hockey League. 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points in 4 games. Nazem Kadri gets a number one star. Frederick Anderson from Carolina, the number two star. Let's take a look at this. Even strength points, McDavid versus Gaudreau. Now, McDavid's played 36 games, and this is when the stats are put together, 36 and Gaudreau 37. Gaudreau has 12 goals to McDavid's 10. He has 19 first assists to McDavid's 9. He has 3 second assists to McDavid's 6. 34 even strength points, McDavid 25. He's played considerable less amount of minutes as McDavid's at 643. Gaudreau's at 564. Can you believe Johnny Gaudreau's been more productive 5-on-5 than Connor McDavid this year? Man, I hope that continues. Talk of him getting an Art Ross. Johnny Gaudreau in 5 less games has 2 less points than Alexander Ovechkin, even strength points. Ahead of guys like Jonathan Huberdeau, Kaprizov in Minnesota, Kadri, Dreisaitl, Stamkos, all those names. This guy's on a tear. Tkachuk in the news as he wingers with 5-plus assist efforts. Matthew Tkachuk did it this week in the 7-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. That's something that doesn't happen very often. 3-plus point games by a player in the franchise. All-time Johnny Gaudreau is in 6th. Iginla had 88 three-point games. Fleury had 72. Kent Nielsen had 68. Al MacInnis, 65. Joe Neuendijk, 54. And Johnny Gaudreau currently sits at 42. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Couple of call-ups in the last week. Byron Fraze, Connor Mackey recalled. They both are on the taxi squad. I believe the taxi squads end after All-Star break, so we'll see what happens there. There will be some shuffling going on, I'm assuming, as the team comes out of All-Star break, takes their final COVID tests, and heads back to game play. Let's talk about that Pacific Division. And it's tough to talk about it because some teams have played still 4 to 6 games more than Calgary and Edmonton, both sit at the lowest amount, 42. And let's take a look and see where they're at. We'll do it like we normally do and rank them as far as points go, because that's what it really is. But we'll talk point percentage too. And currently right now, Vegas in first place with 57 points. Los Angeles 2 back and 52. Nobody saw that. Or excuse me, 55. Nobody saw that coming. Anaheim sits in third, also with 55. They played one more game than Los Angeles. Calgary just 3 back at 52, but they've done it in 42 games. Edmonton, 49 points in 42 games. San Jose starting to fall off pace a little bit, 48 points, 46 games. Vancouver, 46 points, 46 games. And in the basement, Seattle, 34 with 46, 34 points in 46 games. In points percentage, Vegas leads Calgary by just 1/100th of a point, 0.62% point percentage for Vegas. Calgary second, 0.619. Calgary's a plus 32 goal differential in the division. That leads the division. Wow, that's pretty good. Well, rumors flying out of Vancouver, because of where they're at in the standing, that Canucks president Rutherford is a little itchy finger here, and a guy who's been known to make a lot of moves has rumors circulating that Connor Garland, JT Miller, Tyler Motte are all potential trade pieces. When does Vancouver decide if they can make or miss? You know, if they can make the playoffs, are they going to make a run, or what are they going to do? They're gradually slipping. They've been 4-3-3 lately. I think if they come out of All-Star break with a couple losses, this team is going to have to start thinking about what they're going to do to better themselves for the future and have that minor rebuild, retweak, whatever the heck you want to call it, in Vancouver. Other news from the division, Evander Kane does finally sign a contract in Edmonton. Scores a goal in his first game back. A deal that is for $750,000 in salary, $625,000 in the signing bonus, which means it'll be about a $2.1 million cap hit. A full no-move clause. The league did decide to not suspend him for, I guess, breaking COVID protocol, I guess, would be the term that you would use. No suspension on that. He gets off scot-free, which surprised the heck out of me. And he did look pretty decent in his first game in Edmonton. We'll see how that pans out. He's a great player, just don't know if he's a great human being. Arizona Coyotes arena problems continue, and it is at a level that I never thought we would ever see. Now they're talking about playing at Arizona State University in a 5,000-seat arena for 3 to 4 seasons as they wait to build an arena in Tempe. An arena that doesn't have approval yet and a shovel's not in the ground yet. I have no idea how this works. I don't think this happens. This would be a financial downfall for the league. The players would hate it. They evidently can't because the NCAA rules use the facilities of Arizona State, like the training facilities and things like that, locker rooms. So everything would have to be rebuilt. I don't even know if you could even get that done. I don't even think you could get that done. I don't know. I still think the Arizona Coyotes are on the move. I just don't know how you get this thing done. This week, I was doing a little bit of thinking, and I usually go with listener questions and things like that, but this week I did a Facebook poll. And I did it with my friends at Flames Hub. Yep, Facebook group. If you're a Flames fan, get onto Flames Hub. You got to join this group. They talk Flames hockey every single day. I posed the question, which is the most critical player to lock up with a long-term contract? Is it Matthew Tkachuk or Johnny Gaudreau? Now I have tons of responses. I had 259 responses before I went to record, and the responses just kept coming in. 62%, 161 respondents said getting Johnny Gaudreau wrapped up with a long-term contract is more important than getting Matthew Tkachuk wrapped up. 98 people said Matthew Tkachuk, 38% of the respondents. Now, a ton of people said get them both wrapped up, and I would love that too. But that wasn't the question. The question was, which one is more critical? Now, I've went back and forth on this, and I don't know what I would do. I don't think Johnny Gaudreau is signing without testing free agency. I don't know why my gut said that. Why wouldn't he have signed by now? Maybe the Flames management says, well, I want to see how you do in the playoffs. And that's what how I kind of feel. I want to see how you can produce in the playoffs. But Johnny Gaudreau isn't the only Flames struggling in the playoffs. Not stupid. So a lot of these guys got to prove that. Now, I got a feeling Matthew Tkachuk's price tag is going to be through the roof. And I love Matthew Tkachuk, and I like having him on the team. But I think we could have learned to adapt not having him easier than we could learn to adapt not having Gaudreau. I don't want to have that problem, though. I want both of them. But the way Gaudreau is playing right now, I don't know how you wouldn't pick Gaudreau, right? And that's not a knock on Matthew Tkachuk, because this offseason will determine a lot of the future of the Flames. Getting both those guys is very, very important to where this team goes for the next 5 to 10 years.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, time to talk game previews. And here's where we usually preview the games coming up ahead. But this weekend, until we record next time, we've got no games to preview. We've got Friday night, February 4th, 5:30 Mountain Time, the NHL All-Star Skills Challenge. Johnny Gaudreau will be featured in that, doing, I believe, accuracy shooting. They're going to have some accuracy shooting outside at the Bellagio, too, in the fountains. That'll be interesting to see. There's a 21-card shootout. I hope Johnny Gaudreau is part of that. That'll be fun to watch. Vegas is Vegas. Yeah, I love going to Vegas, right? It's one of my favorite places to go. We're going to get to see some interesting stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm not an all-star game guy. The game itself will take place 1 o'clock Mountain Time this Saturday, February 5th from the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. I'm not an all-star game guy. It's a 3-on-3 this year. It'll be a little bit better because of that. We'll see what happens. It should be a little bit of fun. Most of all, I think this is a reset for the league. A time to enjoy it, have fun, because this stretch drive is going to be jam-packed. packed with action. So it should be a lot of fun. NHL regular season games resume Monday, February 7th, and the Calgary Flames resume Wednesday, February 9th, when the Vegas Golden Knights come to Calgary to take on the Flames. And, yeah, look ahead at the Flames schedule when we come back. It is, needless to say, it is a jam-packed schedule for the Calgary Flames with some real tough opponents. Vegas and Toronto out of the gates. We are at home in the Saddle Dome. That should be a lot of fun. And, yeah, check out Johnny in the All-Star game this week. We are back on the show next Tuesday night. Yeah, the night before the Flames get back on the ice. And it's going to be a great episode. We're going to talk about what the Flames need to focus on the rest of the season and what they should do. Is it time to cash in the cards and go all in? We're talking about it next week. Also, Blake Friars from the Debate Hockey Podcast is going to join us to discuss this gridlock we got going in the Pacific Division. Who rises to the top? Who falls to the bottom? Check out FlamesUnfiltered.com. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, and check us out. The video version on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Yeah. This Flames team, boy, have they been a lot of fun this year. Enjoy All-Star break. Be healthy. Be safe. Keep smiling. Go Flames. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.